Welcome back to the Marnie Blick Tapes, the podcast that follows Detective Marnie Blick and her cases. If this is your first time listening, this is actually part two of a case, so we recommend listening to the prior episode before continuing on from this point.
With that out of the way, let us continue with the final part of the case that we've named The Deceptive Drowning of Nick the Fish Turner.
As we continue to research these cases, we find more and more ways that Marnie logged information on a case. The amount of notebooks and folders full of notes is staggering. But what we found most recently was a box of tapes from her old voicemails. We found one tape marked September 22nd. We stuck it in our tape player and heard this.
Marnie, it's Drew. New info. I saw a girl today. She called me and she said she saw Nick. She saw him the morning of, but she said he was jogging. Why would you go jogging before surfing? It's totally weird. Call me back.
This was a voicemail that Marnie probably woke up to on the morning of September 22nd. Drew had called her after getting home from a surfing session. After a phone call between the two, Marnie insisted on speaking to the woman Drew had spoken with herself and getting her on record.
Hello. Hello, Elizabeth?
Yes?
We have no pictures of her.
Hi,
only a description by Finn. Short hair, a perfect tan, and green eyes. Her profession isn't written down, but there is a scribble on the side that says, former model? She's married and lives right in front of the entrance to the slope that brings you down to Bluffs Cove.
The morning of Nick's death, Elizabeth Folker was woken up around 5 a.m. by the new addition to her family, Pablo, a puppy her and her husband had brought back from Mexico. So Elizabeth was woken up by Pablo's whining. He was still in the process of being potty trained, and she rushed outside with him, waited for him to do his business. And this is when she saw a truck pull up in front of her house. Nick's truck.
Okay, so I was told that you saw Nick Turner on the morning of August 19th.
Yes, I saw him on that Monday.
So what did you see exactly, and at what time?
It was really early, like 5 a.m. The sun wasn't up yet, but I was taking my dog out to go to the bathroom, and I saw the guy park his car and just start jogging.
So you saw Nick park his truck and immediately begin jogging?
Yeah, it was a little off. I think that's why I remember.
And why didn't you contact the police after everything?
I only heard about the accident later, and I didn't think it was the same guy because he was jogging, not surfing.
Right, but couldn't he have gone surfing after his jog?
That would be strange, right? And I didn't see a surfboard in his truck, I don't think.
And you saw him drive up and park?
Yes. He drove down my street, parked, and began jogging up the street.
The same street he came down from?
Yes. He drove down, parked for a little bit, and then got out and jogged back up the street.
And this was a Toyota Tacoma?
It was a white truck. I don't know what exactly.
But you saw a raised white truck?
Yes. It looked like the same car.
Would you be willing to meet in person?
Of course. Anything else?
Why would Nick go for a jog before surfing? Especially at 5:30 in the morning. And why doesn't he have a surfboard with him in the car? Marnie often had transcripts of her phone calls and her interviews written out. Jog, Nick, surfboard, and truck were highlighted multiple times.
You're welcome. You live around here?
Do I live? No, I don't actually.
Yeah, you don't look like it.
If you say so.
I do.
Uh-huh. So you were...
This is Andre Cooper, one of the two members of Petty Cash. He was rather tall and built. His height was listed as 6'2 to 6'4. He had piercing eyes and what looked like acne scars on his right cheek. This is the last known person to have interacted with Nick before he was found dead. Andre and Nick were drinking heavily the night prior to Nick's death, celebrating the accomplishment of selling their single and making a deal with Ruthless Records, an American record label based out of Compton, California, founded by Jerry Heller and Eric Wright, better known as Eazy-E. Andre lived just north of Compton in Southgate, A recording of a phone call between Marnie and Finn told us that Finn was kind of nervous, but Marnie had reassured him that she had spoken with Andre already. That being said, Andre did seem pretty defensive at the beginning.
You said you weren't a cop.
I'm not.
Alright, just double check.
Okay, so you were there the night before Nick was found?
Yeah, I was sleeping at his spot when they found him.
You were celebrating a record deal of some sort?
Exactly. Nick and I had a single that got picked up, so we had a couple girls, a couple drinks.
Do you have these girls' information?
Sure.
Were either of you seeing these girls at the time?
Once in a while, you know how it is.
You were Nick.
Andre goes off on a tangent here. He speaks about his upbringing. He came from a difficult part of L.A. and would often find himself in gang altercations. He describes Nick and himself as skilled with women and how he often had them around. He also disapproved of Tina, saying she was stuck up and wasn't proud of where she came from. The two had grown up in the same area with mutual friends. It was Andre who encouraged Nick to break up with her. He says she weighed him down.
That's around midnight, so then I was trying to get these other girls to come, but they were too tired.
Okay, what about Tina? Do you know her well?
I mean, she's always been around. She's from here, too.
Did you introduce the two?
Nah, Tina met Nick at one of his parties.
Did you like her?
She's all right. She's always on him, though, like, let the man breathe.
So, were you happy that they broke up?
Yes, I was. I told him to.
You told Nick to break up with Tina?
Yeah, she's always on him. Besides, we were coming up. She didn't need Tina around.
She said, her words, you often did drugs with Nick.
Nah, I don't touch any of that.
Are you sure?
I don't care if you're a cop or not. I'm not saying I do drugs.
That's totally fine. No worries. So, no other guests that night?
Not after. I went to Nick's pad in the evening. His boys stopped by and dropped off this shit called Absinthe. And then the girls stopped by and they chilled before they bailed at like midnight.
Whose boy? Nick's?
Yeah, Chandler. He's another producer.
Chandler, okay. And so you went to bed after the girls had left?
We chilled for a while. I think I passed out at like 2 or 3.
Okay. And Nick did too?
Yeah, I think so. But I woke up a couple hours later and I saw him with his board by the pool.
So he didn't go to sleep?
I don't know, man. That's just what I remember. You lucky I can remember any of this shit, because I was fucked up. That absinthe is no joke.
What was he doing?
Nothing, really. Just sitting, looking over the cliff.
So he was just sitting?
Yeah, he was just sitting. I called his name, but he didn't hear me.
It says here that you had a broken hand.
It was actually my clavicle.
How did that happen?
I was playing football with some friends, landed wrong on a tackle.
Oh. Did you go to the hospital?
Yeah, right after.
What was the name of the hospital?
I don't know. The one in Torrance. Why?
I'm just asking. Do you surf?
What the hell are these questions? No, I don't surf. Yo, what is this for again?
Andre, I already told you.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, these are some strange questions. You sure this is gonna help, Nick?
Trust me, I'm just trying to see the whole picture.
All right. You say so.
Okay. What about Gary? What's he like?
He's an old rich white dude. What else is there?
Can you tell me about his relationship with Nick? What was that like?
I don't know, man. He's old. He thinks I'm the reason Nick doesn't want to do real estate, but I just helped Nick. He should be thanking
me. Okay, I see. I want to congratulate you on the single, by the way.
Thank you. I have a copy if you want.
Chandler Ford was another Palos Verdes resident. He was a year older than Nick, same high school. In fact, he lived less than a block away from Nick. He was the friend that dropped off the absinthe.
Okay, Chandler, what was your relationship with Nick like?
We really didn't know each other that well. That's why I'm a little confused.
Finn says that Chandler has light brown hair, stands about 6 feet tall, and is also very fit. Chandler had graduated from UCLA with a business degree on a scholarship for volleyball. Since graduating, he has pursued a career in music as a producer. Nick and Chandler, by all means, had very similar upbringings. Wealthy white males who grew up in a rich beach town, one of the only differences being that Chandler had two younger siblings. He lives in his parents' beach house, the one Finn is interviewing him at.
It's only because I was told you saw him the night before. Was he acting any differently?
I wouldn't know, but I don't think so. He was just pumped because of the deal.
Did you celebrate with them?
I bought them some alcohol. Yeah, but it was just a gift.
From what I know, absinthe is pretty rare. That's a nice gift for someone you don't know very well.
Yeah, well, it's because we're in the same industry. I like to see anyone I know make it. It's a hard business to crack into.
Oh, okay. Did you like the song?
Yeah, Andre is crazy talented. I think he killed that track, killer stuff.
And what part of the music industry are you in? Your role?
I'm a producer.
Got it. Like Nick was?
Sure. Yeah.
So you didn't know Nick too well. Did you know any of his friends? You seem to know Andre.
No, I know Andre. I'd seen him on a couple of times. I heard some of his bars. He's the talent, definitely.
But Gary, or Tina?
No, I heard of Tina. I don't know Gary.
What do you know about Tina?
I just heard of her. I don't know anything.
What have you heard?
Dude, nothing. I just know that she exists.
Okay. So you just know Nick?
Yes.
Chandler felt inconsequential. No relation with anyone, and gave no new information to the case. He had no motive, no real relation to Nick. His only crime was congratulating a friend with a bottle of celebratory alcohol. So Marnie decided Finn would go back to Nick's home and see if there was anything he could find that would help them, after getting Gary's permission, of course.
Yeah, it's pretty much what you'd assume. A lot of CDs, magazines, sports memorabilia. I wish he journaled or something.
Do the CDs have labels? Like dates?
Some do, yeah.
Great, that will be helpful. Did we get confirmation from Gary on taking his stuff?
Yes. We just have to have him take a look at what we plan on bringing back with us.
Perfect. Then, could you walk me from the garage to Nick's room, and then through the side door that leads to the backyard?
Yeah, sure.
Finn and Marnie do this a couple of times. They discover that you can make it from the street to Nick's room without being spotted by the neighbor's security camera.
Hey, if Nick's cause of death was drowning, does that mean it happened at the beach?
It's possible, but the cause of death was asphyxiation. He could have drowned or someone could have choked him to death. And by dumping him in the ocean afterwards, his lungs would have filled with water, leading to the death looking like a drowning.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah, so from where you are now,
yeah.
Do you believe you could hear Andre call you?
Finn is outside, by the pool, approximately where Andre had seen him the night they were drinking.
Oh, definitely.
Why are you so sure?
Because I can hear Gary fill up his glass of water in the kitchen right now.
Then he must have heard him. And why would he bring his board to the garden?
I don't know. Maybe to wax the board.
Doubtful. The wax on the surfboard was old. He hadn't cleaned it in a while, according to the report.
Oh, then... Yeah, sorry, Mar. I got nothing.
No, I'm just thinking aloud.
Look, I'm gonna go check in with Gary and make sure we can take all that. We'll go from there.
Yeah, sorry, I'm thinking. I'll call you soon.
Here's another call. A few minutes later.
Hello?
How far is the drop from the cliff to the ocean?
From Gary's backyard?
Yes, exactly.
I don't know, I'd say maybe a little under 30 feet.
So do you think... You could jump into the ocean from there?
I mean, you could. I wouldn't.
Okay, let's ask him tomorrow.
Okay, I'll talk to you in the morning.
Great. Drive safe.
Man, you can't just keep questioning me. I already talked to the white boy.
I understand, Mr. Cooper, but you could really help this case.
All right, man. For Nick.
This is Andre again. This is the him Marnie was referring to. Typically, Andre would be hostile at the beginning of conversations before slowly winding down and cooperating with either Finn or Marnie.
A few questions and then we'll be done.
All right, then.
You said that Nick was outside when you woke up in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And he wasn't moving and he didn't respond to you when you called him?
Yeah.
Okay, and you said he was holding his surfboard.
No, he had his surfboard, but it was just on the ground.
He wasn't holding it.
He was just sitting by it.
I understand. Thank you for clarifying. Andre, were you aware of a Chandler Ford?
Yeah, of course. He's the guy that dropped off the liquor.
How would you describe his relationship with Nick?
It was like this older brother kind of thing. Like, Chandler would teach Nick about music, and Nick would teach Chandler about surfing.
How often?
Pretty often, like every weekend, I guess.
So you would say they were close?
I mean, I'd say so.
Okay, and last one. Do you think you could safely jump into the ocean from the side of Nick's house?
Yeah, definitely.
Why are you so confident?
Well, Nick told me he did it one time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, I ain't never seen him do it, but he told me. I guess he could be lying, but that'd be a strange thing to lie about.
We couldn't find any more information on the case during this month. And Marnie felt similarly, because after a few more days in California, Finn flew back home. Marnie's files show little to no activity in this case. In fact, the investigation duo began another case. A few phone calls and conversations were recorded, but after listening to them, they didn't hold anything substantial. So for a little over a month, there wasn't any action. No movement in the case.
One thing we realized about Marnie is that she has a very difficult time fully dropping a case that wasn't solved. We imagine this holds true for just about any great detective. That need for a definitive answer kept clawing at her. And so, while working on another case altogether, one we may or may not have to make an episode about, Marnie was brought a collection of Nick's belongings. She read every notebook, examined all his things, and listened to every tape and CD he owned, which brought her to this. Does this sound familiar? Remember Petty Cash's single? Here's that song again.
I got the last laugh. They tried to slow me down, now they want an autograph.
Okay, and now here's that instrumental track that Marnie found, again, with no vocals on it. It's the same backing track, only the instrumental track wasn't labeled Petty Cash. This was found on a CD labeled Master Fly Mix 7. To us, this seemed irrelevant, but something about it made Marnie reopen the case.
Master Fly?
Yes. Did you know anyone by that name?
No. I don't know who that is.
Okay. Maybe a potential album name?
No. Not one of mine, sir.
Thanks for calling me back.
Sure, of course. What's going on?
Just one question. Did your son ever go by the name of Master Fly?
You know, I'm not sure.
Hi, Tina. This is Marnie Blick, the private investigator. We'd spoken a few weeks back.
Oh, yes. Hi.
So, real quick question.
Sure.
Do you know anyone by the name of Masterfly?
Oh, yeah. That's one of Nick's friends.
Which one?
I don't know his name, but he was kind of tall, brownish hair.
White?
Yeah, white guy. He went by that name.
Was his name Chandler?
Maybe. I can't remember. I don't even know if he told me his name, to be honest with you.
Ben.
Hey, Mar. Hey.
I got you a flight to California. Tomorrow, 8 a.m.
All right. What's in California?
I have an interview with Elizabeth.
Who?
The girl who Nick Turner saw. The girl who saw Nick Turner.
Oh, that case? I thought we were done with that one. Mar?
No, not yet. So, 8 a.m.
Okay, 8 a.m.
So after arriving in California, Finn had an in-person interview with Elizabeth. She was the witness that saw Nick park his car outside of her house. It consisted mainly of the information that was given before, but with one change. One big change.
Okay, so what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to lay down three photos. And I would like for you to point out which one of them you saw that morning.
Okay. The middle one.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I mean, the first two look similar, but looking at it, the middle one. Yeah, he was wearing a beanie, so I didn't see the hair.
This is who you saw park the car that morning?
Yes.
The three pictures he had shown Elizabeth were of Andre, Nick, and Chandler. Andre was the last, Nick was the first, and the middle one was Chandler. With the confirmation of Elizabeth, they placed Chandler in Nick's car that morning. And with the blatant plagiarism of Chandler's beat, there was a motive. Revenge. But how could he have done it?
Hello?
Hi.
Sorry, who's this?
This is Detective Blick.
This is a phone call between Chandler and Marnie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The first and last phone call between
give
them.
Give me a couple minutes of your time. I'd like to ask you a few questions.
Yeah, now's not great. Do you mind if I call you back in a couple hours? I just got some things
it
I...
It'll only take a couple minutes.
All right, man, are you sure? Because I really have some stuff I need to get
Two
done.
2 minutes. I promise.
All right.
Great. I'll be recording this so we don't have to do this again, and I just need to confirm a few things. We got a couple CDs labeled mixed up and wanted to identify if this was yours or Nick's.
Okay.
Oh, and really quick, do you own a surfboard?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, just out of curiosity.
Yeah, that's mine.
Okay, great. Give me 1 second.
Okay.
What about this one?
That's Nick's.
Are you sure?
Yeah, that's the single they sold.
But it's on the same CD as the last song. And it's labeled Master Fly Mix 7. You're Master Fly, aren't you? You go by Master Fly, don't you? How did that happen?
We made a CD together. I don't know.
Chandler, you told me you and Nick weren't very close.
We weren't, but I mean, we still made music together with them, you know?
Did Nick steal one of your songs?
Right. I mean, yes, they sound similar, but that doesn't mean anything.
Is that what led you to strangle him?
What? No. Did he drown?
Did you use the leash of his own board or the board you brought with you? The one you put in Nick's truck before you drove it down to Bluff Cove.
Look, man, I don't know what you're talking about, all right? This is fucking crazy.
I also have a witness placing you in Nick's car the morning of Nick's death.
No, I didn't go surfing, all right?
I didn't say you went surfing, Chandler. I just said someone saw you in Nick's car that morning. Can you clarify why that would be?
I don't know. It's got to be a mistake, all right? Look, I've really got to go now, man. I'm late. I will call you back.
Just spare a couple more minutes.
So what happened exactly? This is the conclusion Marnie Blick came to. The story used in court. First, Chandler had to get Nick drunk, hence the absinthe. He then waited until the world had gone to sleep and made his way to the Turner household carrying his own surfboard. He slipped into the house and killed Nick in his sleep by choking him with Nick's surfboard leash. He then took Nick and Nick's board to the backyard. As he was doing this, Andre woke up. Chandler hid, and luckily, Andre didn't investigate after calling Nick's name. And so, once the coast was clear, he hurled Nick and his board from the cliff into the ocean below. Chandler then took Nick's truck and loaded it with his own surfboard, a three-finned board, and drove his car out of the view of the neighbor's camera,
dropped off his own board so he wouldn't be seen with it, jogging back from the beach. All the while, the current pulled Nick's body to the shores of Bluff Cove, to be discovered by Drew.
Chandler Ford was arrested the next morning for the murder of Nick Turner. 3 weeks later, he pled guilty and was sentenced to 20 years in jail without the possibility for parole for first-degree murder. He admitted to concocting his plan after finding out that Nick had plagiarized several of his tracks, one of which was sold to Ruthless Records. Quote, "I wanted him to pay, and money wasn't enough."
And thus ends the deceptive drowning of Nick the Fish Turner. Thank you for your continued support and constructive criticism. We hope you like the changes we've made. For comments, feedback, and any sort of contact, please email us at themarniebleaktapes@gmail.com. Or if you're watching on YouTube, leave a comment below. And if you're listening on iTunes, please do leave a rating on our podcast page. It helps a ton.
Please follow us at Nicholas M. Sotto, that's M as in monolith, and at Antonius Nazareth, like the Roman general.
Editing by Nicholas Sotto and Antonius Nazareth.
And a special thanks to Mallory Blick and Bill.